In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Taylor, and Ali McFarlane, husband and wife duo, as we talk about our greatest learns of 2025. It's hard-hitting again, it's vulnerable, it's honest. This is one that will stretch you. Join us. Hello, loyal listeners, and a warm welcome. If you are new, it is What the Prophets Say podcast with me, Emma Stark, and oh my days, it's joyous. I have a husband and wife team with me, and I know you already love them. You have sung along to their tracks. You've probably wept with Taylor's story in our previous episode. It's Ali and Taylor McFarlane. Yay. How are you?
We're so good.
McFarlane's are well.
How nice is it to be here together?
First time, babe, first time.
So and good.
It is, it's lovely. And yeah. How long have you guys been married?
Coming up for 12 years.
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's only 11.
It's not. We're in our 11th.
Oh, no.
We're 11th on last May.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. We're coming up for another anniversary this month.
What anniversary is that?
How long we've been together.
How long we've been together. And then our actual anniversary is next May, which will be 12 years married.
True. So 13 years together.
And do you keep like a lot of anniversary kind of rituals?
No, we don't have one.
That's an all naked.
I don't think.
No,
does that count? It's a good time, if you ask me. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
I was thinking dinner out, but no. Something when I asked.
No, we have
question.
A 9 year old.
That's she can get babysat.
That's like an attachment.
Listen, if you want to take me for dinner this year, I'll say yes.
Hi.
Great.
There you go. And then we've orchestrated a date.
There we go. Done it.
For an anniversary.
There
we go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. This is not a good idea having used two in the podcast together.
David and I have rituals. Like we go out and we ask each other certain questions on our anniversaries.
Yeah. I love that you guys do that. Yeah. Sometimes you bring us in, not for the anniversaries, but at our birthdays.
Yes.
And if we happen to be together on a birthday, you will say.
We're looking for highlights personally, collectively, what's working, what's not. It's reviewing. It's quite fun, you know, because you're not in, it's not like a workplace PDP, personal development plan. Where is their failure?
How could we better this?
It's not quite. But there's a lot of joy in making yourself, well, where did we go on holiday? And what did make us laugh? Yeah. And what's our fit? Where will we hold something dear of a moment in this year that really, we really were like, oh, wow.
Yeah, this year's a new year for starting new things, I think. Mm-hmm. So maybe we shall take that one.
It's a pivot year. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's winter here. My hands are freezing.
Yep. Yes, my nose is running.
Oh.
Sorry. Lovely. Is that too much emotion?
No, it's fine. I'll fire you a wee tissue.
Great.
Kleenex for our American listeners. It's winter. I actually am podcasting with a scarf on. I'm so cold. I'm needing Karen Stewart, one of ourselves, electric plug-in clothes that heat up.
Yeah. I'm not sure that scarf is actually keeping your neck warm.
It's very trendy though, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Great.
It's emmastark.com.
That's what David came into the bedroom this morning and says, that's a very you outfit.
100%.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Okay, I think that's good.
I'll take it.
I think that's good. Okay, we're doing the greatest learns of the year. Obviously, last episode we had Matt and Taylor talking about really honest about their childhood trauma and pressing into the father's love and Jesus the man and all of those issues. Ali, you're center stage, and Taylor and I are now going to jointly interview you on your greatest learn of the year, the sense of like, where did you meet Jesus? Mm-hmm. And what is the take home? Because none of us want to go through this year again. I think we're all agreed.
Yes.
And none of us want to miss a lesson, because none of us want to go round a mountain again if we can possibly help it.
Yeah. Yes, fair enough. I think my takeaway from this year is really that God really is working all things together for our good. And in that sense of the Romans 8 scripture that says he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called and according to his purposes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think this year had me in many moments of feeling like, how on earth is he working this for my good? It feels like we're in the midst of absolute catastrophes and pain that was beyond my wildest imagination. And how on earth is he going to turn this around? And mm-hmm. my realization on the other end of it, that there was a couple of components that were my responsibility in yeah. the midst of this year.
Yeah.
One was really to be devoted, wholeheartedly mm. devoted to him mm. and love him with all of my heart. Mm-hmm. And I think actually the pain and the craziness of this year pushes you into a place of complete reliance on him, which mm-hmm. is just the most joyous thing.
I think I would join you in that lesson learned. I might pick a slightly mm-hmm. different scripture, yeah. but I think the base understanding is the same. Yeah. And normally I'm extrovert, organized. I'm not necessarily detailed, but I've got other people to do that. Mm-hmm. But I always have a plan, a restructuring plan. Let's pivot. Oh, let's do this. Let's yeah. organize this way. Yeah. Let's think this thought. Let's, and we're going to leverage the change mm-hmm. and we're operationally used to and able to, you know, reconstruct things.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. there were times I think I thought, I don't know how to leverage a change here. This house is not selling because we've been trying to sell a house.
Yeah.
This house, I don't know what else to, I'm out of answers. I am out of answers. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in my brain that I can go, that I can formulate something that will work here.
Yeah, to make it better.
Yes, I can't, I don't know how to. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're navigating stress because mm-hmm. the response then is, oh my goodness, I do have a responsibility. I am educated. Mm-hmm. I have read my Bible.
Yeah.
I am a godly woman of prayer. Yeah. I know how to worship. I can have 100 conversations with intelligent people. I have a leadership coach.
Yeah.
And every go-to was like a dead end. And the sense of like the God who will bring you to not just to your knees, because I think we're used to living on our knees, but to a place of exasperation where all I have left is, well, it's over to you.
Yeah. 100%.
And it wasn't always a nice over to you.
No, it wasn't.
It was a Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm inside of you. You're inside of me. Mm-hmm. We live in this fusion place of communion.
Yeah.
We're totally living in John 17.
Yeah.
We're one. I pray, you know, that we one as Jesus. I'm an answer. Jesus, I'm an answer to your prayer.
Yeah.
See, seriously.
Yeah.
We're one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to step out of that for a moment.
Yeah.
In a good way, not in a rebellious way. You're going to sit at the table opposite me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to be eyeball to eyeball. What are you doing, Jesus? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, what are you up to? Mm-hmm. And if you don't fix this, I'm out. Not out of faith.
Yes, we know what you mean.
No, but not out of belief.
Just don't
do that. No.
We're just changing the plan.
Look, if you don't fix this, you cannot expect me to lead a ministry.
It's so true. I've been in so many of those moments this year of like, Jesus, I need you to do something. Please do something, or I'm going to be tempted to take it into my own hands. But then knowing, like, I think a couple of times this year he said to me, hold the line. Just hold the line. Just stay there.
Yeah, wait.
Hold the line. Hold the line? Is that it? Like, you know, I mean, is that all you are giving me? Hold the line.
Did you play that pop song that says, who is it? Johnny Cash?
No, I don't know that one.
Is that Walk the Line?
Okay.
And just sitting in that, like, and that comes to the second part of that Romans 8 scripture, which is, and are called according to his purposes. Realistically, the call of the Lord, him saying something to you, isn't really what that scripture's talking about. It's talking about the obedience to the call that he's asking you, like the obedience to the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so sitting in that place and being obedient, finding myself having to be devoted to him because I literally have nothing else to anchor on, and then having to be obedient because he has spoken. It's not very much that he said, but it's enough to keep you going. And then watching as it all unfurls and he fixes. Does something so miraculous out of the ashes, beauty, and just an understanding that I had to do my portion, but then he was so faithful to do his portion in the midst of that.
It's interesting, like what you were saying about house stuff. I remember when we were moving up here, I remember we'd had the house down where we used to live. And
because you moved, what, 2 hours drive?
It's like about a 2 hours drive, yeah.
Closer to
and
Glasgow,
we
yeah.
We bought this house, which was a work of God in the first place, for £120,000. And then when we sold it for £150,000. But I remember the week that we put it on for sale, we had 7 people come and view it. And I was like dealing with the whole sale of all the stuff. And we got an offering of like 137 grand or something like that. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. But God said, wait, because we'd both heard from the Lord that it was going to be 150. And then the man that owned the shop across the road came on the last day of the sale and said, we'll give you 150 cash. And we were like, how good is he, by the way? You know what I mean? Remember that? And then the flip side of that, trying to find a house in that climate and try to trust
find a house in Glasgow.
In the climate we were in at that period of time where everything was selling for crazy money. And I remember just phoning hundreds and hundreds of like estate agents to look at houses. And every time I phoned and made a verbal offer, it was sold. And I remember getting so frustrated and I said to God, God, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. If you want me to move in Glasgow, you'll find me the house. Yeah. And it was like day after. I got a house. I made an offer for the house. It was exactly what they had on the market. No more, no less. And they accepted it with about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And I was Ali being like, that's wild.
And it's you've done it up beautifully. Your
conservatory's so finished. It's so unreal. Come on.
Read up the riot act.
Sorry, Gary, we're learning a life lesson here.
Here we go.
But no.
Everybody pray for me, please.
I was going to invite myself round for dinner.
I wouldn't do that.
And you refused.
Well, to be honest.
Because I had said to you, that conservatory, you've got to do that conservatory for your own emotional well-being.
Rain's there, and that's her dog, by the way. And she's wild.
Yeah, I love a wee wild dog.
Yeah, to be fair, you do like a little dog. I remember this in Canada.
But I know you don't like mine.
No. Well, she did poo in Emma's house.
She did one time.
While you were training her.
Yeah, one time.
But are you scared that I'm going to read you the riot act over the condition of the conservatory?
I mean, it's not I'm scared of it. It's a reality at this
point. Oh, I would come
I know
and go,
you
like,
would do
come
that.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
come
we
on.
Should put it in for after sabbatical.
No, that's months away.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea,
done by then.
But Taylor, you're so talented.
I know, but I can't be bothered. I'm so busy.
Because I just
busy.
I just
I'm so busy. I'm so busy at my full-time job.
I wanted your wife to have a dedicated music writing room.
Oh, she wouldn't like it in there. It's freezing. Have you seen her? She goes to bed with a hairdryer under the covers.
I know she does. She's
wild.
But you're so skilled. Insulate it.
Oh well, potentially.
Yeah,
we'll
I think
happens.
That's a plan. To how did we get here?
Thus saith the Lord. Conservatory finished.
Shall at your conservatory. Yeah, yeah. How did we get here? But the house, the blessing of the house.
Yeah.
That God just moved.
Yeah.
After your
And it was exactly.
I give
what,
up control.
Exactly what we needed.
When I was telling one of my prophet friends the conversation where I said to Jesus, "Right, you and I are sitting at this table, and I love you, and you love me, and we're friends, but we're having a chat of if you don't come through here,
I don't think
I can be a ministry." And my friend,
it's like
who's
so
a prophet,
extreme.
I know it's she was so prophety. My friend laughed at me and said, "How's that going, Emma?
Yeah,
you're an angsty little." Petulant.
Yeah.
Jesus loves it.
Toddler like, you fix it, I might.
Yeah.
How is it going?
It's the same.
Well, he's not fixed the things I want him to fix.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still in ministry. So. I think he's just laughing and going, I will fix it.
Yeah.
In my time, not your time.
Yeah.
Haven't you got enough history with me, Emma Faith Stark, to flip and know this?
Yeah, to be honest.
To be honest, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're a middle-aged woman who was born in church.
Yeah.
You've only ever seen me do things well.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm astounded at my own patheticness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of like, but I know you, God, and you know me, and you've proved yourself faithful, and I'm still having a petulant toddler moment.
Totally. Yeah.
You're teaching your patience. So
thanks,
I'm doing.
Taylor. I had one of those in summer, you know, a toddler moment with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he actually was so kind to me in the midst of it. Sometimes he talks to me back like he's also having a little tantrum with me. But but I was talking to him about, there was, how to say it without saying it. Mm-hmm. We've had some situations this year where people have walked into rooms and given bad reports of us all. And me in particular, in one incident. And I was at something else, and that same human being was at the same event and was whining and dining the leaders of the event that I was at. Mm-hmm. And me and Jesus were having this moment where I was saying, like, how unfair, like, that that person can just walk into these senior leaders and decide to give an opinion about me as a human being. And they might never put me on their platform ever again because of that report. And how unfair is it? And
the pain of reputational damage is real.
Yes. And so I was sitting in that and having an internal with Jesus. And he said, did I not tell you that I would work all things together for your good? And I was like, well, yeah, you did. But, you know, on the other, in the other situation, you didn't really work it together for my good, as far as I am concerned. And he was like, don't be so ridiculous. Every time the enemy comes against you, every time someone speaks a bad word, it just gives me more to work with. And I literally jaw dropped in the middle of this place. I won't give away where I was. And I was like, so every time someone bad mouths me, they're contributing to my victory.
There's a way of a learn.
And yes. I literally, it's changed the whole way that I viewed even the last few months, me thinking, well, actually, if it's been allowed by the Spirit of God, if this thing is happening and God's aware of it, he is always my defender. He's always out ahead of me, and it's still happening and it's still allowed. Well, actually, every time someone thinks that they're doing something against me to take me down, actually all they're doing is contributing to my next victory.
You're sort of riffing off the scripture in and around the Beatitudes, blessed are you when people falsely accuse you and persecute you, you know, for my name's sake. The sense of the blessing of God in the rejection is biblically guaranteed.
Exactly.
So you are pressing into that kind of concept.
Yeah, and just sitting with them in that. I think the other thing that I learned this year was that I have to be fully aware of the portions of him that I'm accepting. And I must always accept all of him all of the time, in this sense of like, he either is all that he says he is or he isn't at all.
Yeah, you've said that.
And, I don't get to, in moments, choose, well, in that moment, for example, think, oh, well, I need to go and be my defender. You know, like, let me take that out of your hands, God, because clearly you're not doing that. The minute that I take away his role as defender, I'm actually saying that I don't ever believe you are any of who you are.
Yeah.
And he,
very good.
And he either is all of who he says he is at all times, or everything I believe is undermined.
What's it like as a husband, Taylor, watching this? Because I know I asked my David, because he watches me in and out of this.
I mean, it's a process for me because I've seen this to somebody the other day. I look at Ali and I've seen her from day one when she started her worship to now, and just the leaps and bounds that she's made in that is just wild, you know. But it's like that whole thing when you're constantly looking at something, the micro changes doesn't register in your brain because you're looking at it all the time.
Yes.
But when people come from the outside to look at it, they're like, oh, that's crazy. I'm constantly reminded of like how crazy her process is when it comes to worship. I mean, I've seen her in the quiet place, you know, at home, just absolutely, you know, with her friends that you have, that you write music with, like, very regularly, twice, maybe maybe once or twice a week. And it's just, it's wild to me, but I learned something about that process that she's been going on this week, last week when we had them Raising Prophets. And she was teaching on the ministry of like sound and how that is, how we operate that there. And as a prophet, who's quite atmospheric, I'm very atmospheric. I never actually thought about it in the way that she brought it, even though I've heard her talk about it a million times.
And lived, shared a bed with her.
Lived in that space. And then realizing it took me it took me hearing her say it and act it in front of people and them receive it for me to know it, which was, you're talking about like the different atmospheres that God can bring and partnering with the atmosphere.
Yes.
Or partnering, what is God doing in the room? And that process of like living in that space, but being in that space all the time, is just a wild learn.
So I suppose it's this sense of saying to the Lord this year, show me the bigger picture of what you've done.
Yes, yeah.
Of what you've already done.
What have you already done?
So that I can sit tight in the not yet.
Yeah.
Don't let me get fixated with what's not working right now.
Yes. Yeah.
But let me draw out to the macro landscape of where have I begun and where have you already taken me as we come to the end of this year, that I might celebrate and be sustained in that which is a not yet.
Yeah.
That actually the sense of like, have you not proven yourself, Jesus? Yes, you have. But that I have grown in you in this journey. I am not who I was.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way I'm the same woman that I was in January of this year. I mean, no way.
No way.
I'm older. Sometimes I feel it in my bones, if that's okay. How would I describe it? I think more accepting of God's choice in how he wants life lived.
Yeah, and just knowing. Yeah.
I have no desire to prove myself. None.
No.
It's gone.
You know what? That's actually so good that you said that, because I've been having this conversation with Ali specifically about that this year, about the proving and about the me.
Yeah.
And it's this whole like posture that I felt like we would take of that I'm the one that he chose and that I'm the one that should display, and not being like, I'm just moving as he moves and it's nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's about what are you doing and I'm just going to participate in that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I've said that to her this whole time. Like I've been in a season of my life before of feeling like, I need to perform and I need to be the one that says the good thing and I need to be the one that brings the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
But then realizing that it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about just, you know, what we touched on it before. We've all been on a journey. Yeah.
Trying not to prove ourselves. Coming to a place of just not needing to prove ourselves.
Yeah. And who are we proving ourselves to?
Well,
you know,
sometimes there's not very many people to prove yourself to.
But that's it. But it's not about anyone else.
No.
Yes.
We are.
I find myself saying to the Lord, not in a melodramatic way, but we're all melodramatic in everything here. Yeah. But this sense of like, if I never prophesy again, that's okay.
That's fine.
If I never preach again, that's okay.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then he keeps giving you words and giving you things that are what he wants done, that you get to step up into and participate.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Taylor, that sense of what is the story that you are telling God in the earth and how can I join you in it?
Yeah.
It changes everything.
Oh, totally changes the dynamic.
And you will come through, God. Mm-hmm. There are things I definitely see it in, that you have grabbed this and fixed it and redeemed that one over there and sorted that over. But I still have a list of things not yet accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But if I scroll out, I can see that you are, as you say in Romans 8:28, you're faithful. You are faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And my verse is probably Mark 7:13, which is a bit different, but it tells the same story where the gospel writer is saying, you've nullified the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost the power of the word of God by handing down your traditions.
Yeah.
And how much we want the tradition of not just a service. I don't just mean the obvious of here's how we structure a service and we don't let the Spirit in by accident, so we nullify the power of the word of God.
Yeah.
But actually, I think we have life traditions.
Yeah.
I think we have traditions of, well, at this age I do this, at this age I do that. And the whole sense of the joy of the power of God coming back to us when we cast aside expectations and traditional lines and the structure of yesterday, which mm-hmm. doesn't hold us for today. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we move into the power of God mm-hmm. because I'm outside of the boundary of my traditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is just a wild thing. You're always taught tradition.
Yes.
You know, like in church or in that space, it's always structure and mm-hmm. this is how we do it. And
yes.
so you fall into this place of this must be the way that I position myself. This has got to be the way because that's what they're doing. You know, and you fall into that place of tradition that you're talking about and then wonder why
God can't act.
God can't move.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're putting him in a traditional box.
I had a revelation this week around this of the power of teaching and preaching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we think teaching and preaching, which we all love to do, I mean, we all do it. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by preacher, teacher, communicators and prophets. Mm-hmm. And we think, though, that it looks like 30 to 40 minute sessions,
yeah. mm-hmm.
sometimes an hour long
yeah.
and a good hour, 20 minutes at a proper conference, mm-hmm. you know, a good long unpacking of the word of the Lord. Now, I actually do think that has its place.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a bit of time to unpack a prophetic word mm-hmm. or a scripture. But that's very traditional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the sitting at the table that you two do as mum and dad with your 9-year-old Harper?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about one scriptural truth
mm-hmm.
over dinner and a chat.
Yeah.
Is that not as valid a form of preaching and teaching?
Yeah, 100%.
Because we got a verse and a truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that not what teaching and preaching is?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've been doing the psalm thing, haven't we? Where I've been asking God for a psalm, just random psalm.
Oh yeah, you were texting.
I messaged you one, and I just say, God, what psalm am I in today? And he sends me one, just randomly gives me it, and I send one to Ali every second day, and we read them together.
Yeah,
and it's so life giving, and not making it about this like it must be a daily devotional every single morning where we sit down at 8 and read for 15 minutes and move on.
It's quite formulaic. It's
the spontaneity of it, of like God wants us to be forever active in him, not this like I'll set time apart for him. It's meant to be a flow. It's meant to be like
a continual.
I continually do it, like walking in the street, I just burst into speaking in tongues in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because our friend Matt had his 30th and we went to the paintball thing.
Yeah.
And the first game was a village, and in the middle of the village was a church, and it was called Capture the Church, right? So I made a yes.
Right? A whole group of prophets.
And I said to them, I says, you'll find me in the church, boys, casting out the demons back to the respawn, right? So I'm in the church going, Shira man no soy, like, shooting people. But, you know, on a serious note,
it's I'm like, in the church.
I'm bringing the Lord in the midst of this paintball game, and it was just like a silly thing, but he looks at that and laughs and is like,
the
just
joy
go for it. He's the joy, and he's like, just go for it.
I actually think that the great over idolization of the preaching of the word in the way we do it mm-hmm. is about to come crumbling down.
Yeah,
and we are going to find that if we take a scripture or a set of scriptures mm-hmm. and we just chat about them over feasting, that actually we are still in teaching mode. And that is as valid as the 90 minute mm-hmm. preach.
Yeah.
And how do we own truth mm-hmm. Is going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. And it's going to change our 2026 massively because we will sit at tables, the table of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and we will be as strong and as trained and as discipled as we've ever been because we are being deprogrammed from the ought, it ought to be and it should be and I do this and you do this and I do this and you come through, God. And I wonder why I wonder if the reason why we have not seen some things come to pass this year that we've sat Jesus down about and broken our hearts about is because he's saying, because if I answer you immediately, you'll just think that you're doing the right thing and you'll just keep your traditions and you'll just keep turning up to tedious churches with tedious structures and I want more for you and I want to work together for the good of those who are called, you know, your Romans. Yeah. And I'm not going to break through on that in that way, yeah. in a way I might have done in your history. Mm-hmm. You've got enough history with me to be able to trust that I can do it a different way.
Yeah.
And that actually, if I don't answer the prayer, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to force you to break out of the traditions that are limiting me.
Yeah, I love that.
That's wild.
I also love the idea that when we pull away from the one man has the word, which actually I love that because, you know, I love good theological
teaching. Oh my, yes. Teaching. Course, we all, I mean, actually, we all do it and we all deliver it.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah. But also like the idea that someone who would never take a microphone then gets to put their spin on what God is saying or filter it through the portion of God that they most represent in the earth.
Yes. Which is very Hebraic.
And we are back in this place of getting fresh revelation, not by, you know, the word of the prophet, which we will still get, but by actually, I just heard it through your mouth. What I've been finding with him is he's reading this psalm to me and I'm going, oh, I would never have picked that up. But because you've read it, that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Because he carries something of the Lord and has a greater revelation of portions of the character of God that I just don't have. And so when he communicates it, I'm picking up on the part of it that's most truthful to him. Mm. And I think that's got so much value in it. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Because I think we've been panicked about changing some things too much in case we lose some form of biblical truth. And we don't want to let God down. The Hebraic way, do you remember when Jesus as a young boy is lost in the temple and Joseph and Mary got to come and find him? The whole thought process there is that why was a child allowed the space to debate in the temple court? And we always go, well, that's because it was Jesus. Of course, I mean, it's a one-off. It's an exception.
Yeah.
That's not true. Mm. And the Hebraic portion is that everybody's opinion or thoughts on the Torah, the first five books of the Bible at that point, was as equally valid. Because you might get something that I don't have, even though you're 12.
Yeah,
100%. Now, and the wild bit about that is not that a 12-year-old was debating, but that they were in awe of him. He was bringing revelation and they were giving space for it.
Yeah.
So how your Harper, age 9, perceives a scripture is as valid as how I, as a 49-year-old woman, biblically trained, her portion is not less valid.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
And the whole sense of learning how are we going to teach and preach the word of God to each other in 2026?
Yeah.
Because God did not let us have a building in 2025 that had Sunday access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was, how do you
be that extreme about it?
Yeah,
but it had to be that extreme, or we wouldn't have learned it.
Yeah,
it's true.
Of course it did, yeah.
It's true.
But it's almost like he was breaking the mold.
Yes.
He was trying to deliberately break the mold.
God literally lifted the Global Prophetic Alliance headquarter building out of one building into another building that wouldn't let us on the premises on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But actually, let us on the premises every other day of the week.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And broke something. And then let's apply that personally. He has not let some things work out that we are used to fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's routine.
Because it's routine.
He doesn't like routine.
This is the learn of this year.
Structure.
Yes.
Why?
I think the only thing I think we need to be wary of, and I think this is for all prophetic communities, is that we don't just build something else and then think that we now have another answer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the continual
reformation.
Reformation. Continuously reforming.
Yeah.
And finding the joy in not knowing what's happening and not having a really good structure and a really good plan for every time that we meet together. And not feeling like we're failing because we don't have and regular outworking of a specific thing that everyone else has.
Yes. Yeah. If every week you don't get a 40-minute preach,
then you're not doing it right. And I'm not going to bless you.
Yeah. Yes.
This has got a crazy concept.
Yes, the routine. And what you're talking about in the reading of Psalms to each other is it's a different routine.
Yeah.
And so you learn something different of God.
Yeah. But it's also being obedient and like, because I don't just go and look for one. I ask him for it. And that's and that's the it's the building of the relationship that also matters.
Yes.
So it's like I'm saying I'm not like just flicking my Bible to a random psalm and then being like, I'll read that one.
Throwing your Bible up in the air. Yeah, throwing my Bible up in the air
and hoping something comes down. Yeah. I'm saying, God, what psalm am I in today?
Yeah.
Or what psalm do you want to give me today?
To write on my heart.
You know, and then he just gives me the psalm and I just read it. And every single time we've read it, we've always been like, that's wild. Because a lot of the times when you I don't know if it's a funny wee thing, you know, you used to do is like open your Bible. A random page, read the first scripture that you see, and it's always negative. You ever noticed that? You ever noticed that? And it's like, thus saith the Lord, bring down fire on them, and you're like,
or it's the Ezekiel, I will cut the umbilical cord of life.
Yeah. But it's like every single time I've asked him for one, it's always been encouraging, which is wild to me. And it's just been diligent, I think, in those things.
Dave and I, we were obviously frequent readers of scripture and avid learners, but we felt we go in sabbatical on the 20th of December for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And we've decided that just find an app that can help us do it, to read the Bible, the entire Bible out loud over each other.
That's cool.
It's a huge quantity of scripture to read out loud each day. Mm-hmm. Find that we've got the time to do it. and to hear each other. Now we've done, you know, read the Bible in a year, umpteen ways, but we've never done it all out loud. Mm. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hear it, the entire story of scripture out loud within three months, but we'll have days where we don't quite manage it because life is life.
Yeah.
But we've got 4 months to do it. And just to see trying a completely different thought around scripture to what will we learn, that is as much teaching and preaching as anything can be.
Yeah, from each other.
And I really feel God is saying to us, you can prophesy, we all prophesy, you all sing and lead worship, we follow your leadership and bounce around in the worship dynamic, Ali. But I think the big change is the working with the teaching and the preaching of the word is the last great bastion of tradition to be reformed.
Yes,
and we have had to learn that this year collectively by, nope, I'm not giving you a building on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sorry.
And I've got a feeling we're going to be super grateful for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be stronger.
Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. Taylor, give me another learn this year that you've had that is I'm going to carry this with me. As Ali and I have done, he works everything together for good. We're going to have to jolly well hold it, and he's going to break my routines. What else are you taking out of 2025 and into 2026?
I mean, there's just so many things that I can think about, different learns and different ways that he teaches you about things. But like, for me, I work in quite a crazy, different environment of a job, which takes me to all these different places. And actually for me, I struggled quite like to start with going into these places and all these different dynamics of homes that I've been in and people that I've spoke to and feeling quite...
Because your job takes you into other people's houses.
It takes me into other people's houses.
Yeah.
And I've, like, for a learn from me this year is from talking to other people that I work with and the dynamic they have with customers to the way I have dynamic with customers is completely different. And I've been to several places that they've been that I've had to go and pick up because they need me to go into that space to do the job because they wouldn't receive the other person. So for me, I've learned this year about your relatability and knowing that I trust him 100% to flow from me, but every time I go into a client's house that I am being the same person that they need to be, that they need to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've been at a load of different dynamics of different places and just like lacing Jesus into your everyday and lacing Jesus into your conversation with people that might never or even heard of things like that is really, really important.
And that are actually proactively hostile to him.
Oh, proactively hostile. And I've had that and I've been able to actually diffuse situations just by being like really relatable and calm in that situation.
Yes.
And it actually works out like it's weird. It's almost like a superpower, you know, like being able to be that person in that space.
Jesus flows through me always.
I'm just going in, and I often, when I'm walking up to the door, I like to posture myself in a certain way and up the door, and I'm always very polite, but I'm always emitting him all the time. But when I first started, I didn't, because I was tired, I didn't really want to do it, and I would go to places and I was received not well. And then I got a bit of feedback from my manager and being like, you know, it was always the same place. So I started being like, oh, I wonder what would happen if I went at it this way. And it's been wild, like wild. So, you know, for anybody that's listening, it's like, you know, if you're in a position like that where you're, you know, secular focused, or you're in a job that's very people faced, you know, I would urge you to, you know, lace Jesus into the conversation, but don't speak about it, but try and be a representation of him through your word.
How can I yield to
how
who
can
you
I
want?
Yield to
yeah.
What does this person need from me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do I be that like best representation to them? And it's sometimes it's really difficult, because what he asks you to be is hard, but I just do it and just see what happens.
How do you need to be seen today, Jesus?
Yeah, how do you need to be seen? What does this person need to know?
Yeah.
And I've been in multiple situations where I've sat in a person's home who I've never met before. I've done a job for them, and I've sat there for an hour just talking to them about their life, and they've been like
sneaky undercover
and they've been pouring out, and it's been wild. I mean, just last week, the catering team that was here,
somebody said to me, because we hosted an event last week in our building, we had hundreds of people from around the world in, and a non-Christian catering team making lasagna and curry, and somebody came and whispered in my ear, "You should see Taylor with the catering team."
I was preaching the gospel, so
good
I was,
for you. Good
but
for
I
you.
Was doing it in such a way that I was. Their thought about God was misplaced. Their thought about him is what they've been taught from other people that don't believe. So they thought that, oh, why was God do bad things and blah 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 blah. So I was like, I would hate for them to leave and not know who he actually is, as a person that knows him really well. So I just started talking to them about how good he is and how he answers and stuff like that, and they were like, you've made me want to go to church now. And I'm like, well, I says try it out,
see what happens.
Being that person, like, because if you don't, like, what else are what are we doing?
I must be who he needs.
Yeah, I must be who
he needs.
Yielded
so that he can tell his story.
Yeah.
And the conclusion there is to weave the thoughts together.
Yeah.
He knows I don't.
He knows I don't. Yeah,
he knows who I need to be.
Yeah.
I don't. He knows what I need to read.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
He knows what prayer needs answered to smash up a ritual that I've wrongly got. I don't.
100%.
And he has proven himself faithful.
Yeah.
And if I scroll back out and take the bigger picture, I will see that he actually knows what he's doing and I don't. And whether it's in the corporate, you can't meet on a Sunday because you're jolly well going to learn how to reframe this, or you're going to get a bad report from your boss until you jolly well learn to show who I am as I want to be seen.
Yeah.
Or whatever it happens to be, we have learned. Are we talking yieldedness? Yes. Yeah. Are we talking surrender? Yes. Are we talking trust? Yes. But I think there is a greater sense of a corporate and an individual and a family place of going, you are God and I am not. And that actually, if I'm deeply frustrated with you, Jesus, which I have been a time or two this year, and Jesus, we're having a sit down chat now, and you're going to tell me why you're behaving like this, and how's that going for us? But the sense of in that, okay, I am upset sometimes. I am distressed sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But this sense of, we are going to go next year into world wars. We are going to go into some catastrophe. We are going to see higher taxes we in the British Isles. We are going to see some economic downturn in the world. We are going to see some trade things fall apart that make the bigger story of the worldwide economic systems a little bit more fractious and difficult. And he actually knew that he needed to push us in 2025. He knew he needed to, you know, though he slay me, yet I praise him concepts in the Bible. Though I felt wounded? Yes, I felt wounded. Yeah. Why did you not do this, sinner God?
Yeah, yeah.
But he knew he needed this year to bring us to a place where he could take us glory to glory. Mm-hmm. He knew he needed to not answer every prayer the way I wanted, because he has positioned us well at effectual doors that we might see even greater levels of who he is in 2026. Mm-hmm. I think we have to say, well done, God, this year. Yeah. If that doesn't sound like it's come out the wrong way. Good job, God. But well done us that through the pain we've learned.
Yeah. It's true.
It's very Job.
It's very Job.
Well, it is, you know, it like, is. What you're saying there is just exactly like the story of Job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost everything and then he gets everything back, but it's a journey and a process. And even though we've been here in the space, you know, just trying to be to stay in, it's difficult. You know, it's not meant to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
So glad that he's God and that we're
100%.
Like, I've honestly found myself at my piano. It's one of the only lines I sing right now, which is, "Hallelujah, you are God and I am not."
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's my summary of my last month's
piano. Have you written it into a full song yet?
I haven't. I tried to get it in the "Your Ways Are the Highest" song.
That you just written a new song.
Yeah, but it never made the cut.
You have.
So maybe we'll put song.
Because of course you have, because you write a new song every 2 days.
she writes them in her sleep.
Yeah. Does she ever
sometimes she wakes up middle of the night
singing?
No, sometimes she wakes up middle of the night and writes notes because she can't get the lyric out of her head.
Really?
It's 2 a.m. and she's like...
So after you've done the hair dryer under the covers because you get cold toes.
Yeah, that's for the cold feet.
Yeah, you know, I get cold feet too.
Cold feet is the worst.
And then you wake up songwriting. Does she sing in her sleep?
No, she doesn't sing in her sleep, but she starts singing when she wakes up, but not for 2 months, Alison.
We got her in vocal rest.
Vocal rest.
Nobody's allowed to hear you make a sound all December or all January.
It's going to be a peaceful home anyway, let's put it that way.
Cat looking right at the end of November.
You're going to go for a full belter.
Just going for it.
And then be like, okay, 2 months of silence.
How are you going to not writing a song for 2 months?
I will still write songs.
But no lyrics.
But you have to whisper.
I will get other people to sing as we write.
Yeah, complete vocal
torture.
Rest.
It's going to be torture for you.
I'll play the melody on the piano.
I'm interested to see what God does with that. With Dave and I going on sabbatical, you on vocal rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who are we all going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Join us this time next year.
Yeah.
Where we start to tell you, what have we learned in 2026?
Yeah,
thank you guys for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say, as we've been reviewing our greatest learnings of 2025 in a quite circular conversation, as prophets are prone to do, but there are three prophets here. I've been Emma Stark. These guys have been the McFarlanes, Taylor and Ali, and a joy to do life with them. Blessings on your house as you come into a Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And we will see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say.
Bye.
Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.